That'll work better.
Press play, you know. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight and open up to the 163. 163, we will stand for our final hymn prior to the message. Just a closer walk, amen? That's what we need. A great old hymn of the faith. Yes, indeed. We're getting there. Get our piano tuned up. Closer walk with thee. How we look forward to that day where we'll be with them, walking with them in the streets of gold. What a blessing that'll be. Well, folks, please be seated tonight and grab your Bibles. I'm very excited tonight because of our brand new study we're beginning. And it has to do with the Shekinah glory in the old in history and prophecy. And as you're opening this evening to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16, I'll give you a little bit of background on where we're heading in the upcoming weeks. Our new series, The Shekinah Glory in History and Prophecy, Part 1. Now, church, by way of introduction, there will be four specific areas that we will be looking at in our studies on this incredible topic, the Shekinah glory. First, we'll look at the actual definition of the Shekinah glory. What is it? What's it mean? What's it represent? Second, we'll look at the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament time period. Third, we'll examine the Shekinah glory in the New Testament and today, the Age of Grace. Fourthly, we'll look at the Shekinah glory in prophecy. That is the Shekinah glory yet future. Now, and then, of course, in the eternal order, the Shekinah glory will still be there. Let's get started right away tonight with the actual definition of the Shekinah glory. What is it? What is the Shekinah glory? Well, it's real important that at the outset that we get a right comprehension of what the Shekinah glory exactly is. Now, the scriptural definition of the Shekinah glory is that it is the visible manifestation of the presence of God. The Shekinah, bear that in mind as we study. The Shekinah glory is the visible manifestation of God's presence, whether it be in a cloud, whether it be in a fiery pillar, whether it be in a smoking furnace. It is the visible presence of God, the Shekinah glory. All right. Now, there's various titles to it in the scripture, the glory of the Lord, the glory, the glory of God. It is the, the Shekinah glory, let me spell it for you. You'll get the proper spelling on the Shekinah glory, which is the Hebrew. It's S-H-E-C-H-I-N-A-H. Shekinah. The Shekinah glory is the immediate, majestic, divine presence of God, in which he descends to dwell amongst men. So when the invisible God becomes visible, and when the omnipresence of God becomes localized, this is called the Shekinah glory. Okay? It is literal. The children of Israel had the literal presence of God with them in their wilderness wanderings. And in all the time of the Old Testament dispensation, where they had the tabernacle and the temple, you and I today also have the Shekinah glory. Okay, we're going to get to that in probably about 6-7 weeks, but don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Now, go to Exodus chapter 16, by which we're still in our introduction here. In Exodus chapter 16, I just want to give you a quick example of the Shekinah glory of God appearing, okay? In Exodus 16, look with me at verse 6. The children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. The Lord has opened the Red Sea and delivered them from Pharaoh. Verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Shekinah. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? Drop down to verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. All right, now here is just one of countless examples in Scripture where the Shekinah glory of God appears to the people. Now, notice that he didn't appear to the heathens. He appeared to his believing people. Amen? There's things that we know that the world does not know. They're not privileged as we are to know the secret things of the Lord. Now, here, the Lord allows his people in the wilderness prior to the commencement of their wanderings toward the promised land to see the Shekinah glory, that is, his immediate localized presence amongst them. And notice the last three words, in the cloud. The glory of God was in that cloud. Now, folks, that's real important, because if the glory of the Lord was not veiled to them in some physical way, they would have been destroyed. They would not have been able to take the divine glory of God in all his majesty shining unto them. It would dissolve them. See? So the Lord had mercy, and he appears in a physical cloud, shadowing his actual glory. Now, this is incredible. We also see here that the usual title referring to the Shekinah glory in Scripture is the glory of the Lord. Look at verse 10 again. In verse 10 it says, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Notice that, the glory of the Lord. And back in verse number 7, in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. Okay, that's what it is. Now, the Hebrew form for the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, is Kavod Adonai, with a K, Kavod Adonai, which means the glory of Yahweh. The Greek form is Doxa Kurion, Doxa Kurion. They both mean the glory of the Lord. Let me show you that. Doxa means brightness and splendor. Kurion means Lord. That's the Greek word for Lord. We know that. So we have again the glory of the Lord in the New Testament as well. Okay? Now, there are other titles in Scripture speaking of the Shekinah glory, like the glory. Sometimes you'll see the glory. Sometimes you'll see the cloud. The cloud. Sometimes you'll see the fire by night, or the cloud by day. These are all referring to the Shekinah glory. Now, the Hebrew word for Shekinah comes from the root shekan. Shekan means to dwell, to dwell. So when you see the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, that means God's dwelling place. Oh, this is going to get good. Now, Shekinah is the Greek word for the dwelling. And it means to tabernacle. To tabernacle. That means to set up your camp, the tent with you, you know. Now, in the Old Testament, most of the visible manifestations of the Shekinah glory came in the form of light, fire, a cloud, or smoke, or any combination of the four. Now, in the New Testament, as we shall see quite a ways down the road, a totally new form of the Shekinah glory appears. That is the incarnate Word, the second person of the Godhead, was the Shekinah veiled in flesh, not in a cloud. We'll get to that. Also, at times, the Shekinah glory is closely associated with four elements. First, he's associated quite often with the angel of the Lord, capital A, the angel of the Lord. Second, he's associated with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see all this as we go. Third, he is associated with the term thick darkness. Thick darkness. Fourth, he is associated with the term the cherubim. Now, with this introduction and this definition of the Shekinah glory in mind, we can now begin our second area of study. That is the Shekinah glory in Old Testament history. The Shekinah glory in Old Testament history. Now, there are specifically 13 references to the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament. Okay? They're all good. We're going to look at all of them. Just a couple tonight. But that's why I say it's going to take us probably a couple months to get through this study. The Bible has so much to say about the Shekinah glory. But, beloved, you will draw closer to the Lord as a result, as studying and learning about these things. Now, the Shekinah glory in Old Testament history. There are specifically 13 actual appearances of the Shekinah throughout the Old Testament canon of Scripture. And we must explore each individually. First, in the Garden of Eden, the Shekinah glory appeared. Go with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Remember, the Lord God created the first man, Adam. He made a nice garden called Eden for him to dress and keep. And he gave him just one order, just one. And look what happens here. You know that he breaks the commandment, him and Eve, his wife. And look with me in Genesis chapter 3 at verse 8. This is after they ate of the forbidden tree. And they heard, they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the, what? Presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now here, it is a key word, presence. God was there in his Shekinah glory. We're not told how he veiled himself, but we know that this is the Shekinah because it's the literal, visible, localized presence of God. They talked with him. They communed with him. Now here in verse 8, our first parents were the first human beings to experience the immediate personal presence of God. They enjoyed a regular, daily manifestation of God's presence, fellowshipping with them, communing with them. It was wonderful until they sinned. Again, we see the Shekinah in verse 23. Look down in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him, Adam, forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drave out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. Notice that. And a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, here in verses 23 and 24, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, he set something up so that they could not re-enter. Man has been separated from God ever since, except for those who seek him truly with their hearts. Now, here in verse 24, notice the phrase, he placed. See that in verse 24? Who is the he? That's God. God placed flaming, fiery sword. Now, the Hebrew word here is vayaskine, which contains the same root as Shekinah. And it literally translates, he caused to dwell. When it says he placed, it means God caused to dwell something there at the entrance of Eden. Okay? Now, literally, he caused to dwell, and this was a visible dwelling of the presence of the second person of the Godhead in the form of a flaming sword. Now, the visible form that he took was that of a fiery, look at verse 24, and he placed or caused to dwell at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. Could you imagine the sight to keep the way of the tree of life? Notice here that the very first appearance of the Shekinah is one of a fiery, flaming sword. You know what you have in your lap? You have a fiery, flaming sword. Just like that incredible presence of God keeping the way of Eden was alive and powerful, so is that book you hold in your lap. That book came from the Shekinah. Now, the second appearance of the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament is found in the Abrahamic covenant, the ratification thereof. Look with me in Genesis 15. When the Abrahamic covenant was signed by God, which it was, you're going to see that here, the Shekinah glory was present. You're going to see this. God signed and sealed it in blood. In Genesis chapter 15, look with me at verse 4. We have an incredible appearance of the Shekinah in this passage. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord. Notice how the word of the Lord is associated with the Shekinah glory. The word of the Lord came unto him, Abraham, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir, Isaac, not Ishmael. And he brought him forth abroad. That's God brought Abraham forth. And said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Good luck. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And he, God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Notice the righteousness which came by faith. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He wanted some proof. And God said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and an she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. He's doing blood sacrifice here to ratify the covenant with Abraham. He laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came, picture of demons, whenever somebody is entering covenant with God, be sure the devil will show up, trying to prevent that soul from entering in to that covenant. And when the fowls in the Bible always represent demon spirits, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Notice that. There is something you have to do. You have to do spiritual warfare. You can't expect God to do everything. Now, in verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, in horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be in a stranger in a land that is not theirs, Egypt, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. There's a prophecy. And also that nation, Egypt, whom they shall serve, will I judge. Boy, did he ever. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Almost, but not quite. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, listen, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, the Nile, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, over there in Babylon. Wow. Now, note, and then he gives them the boundaries in verses 19 and 20 and 21, the actual borders of the land that has been given to Israel, which today is far, far larger than what they possess. They only have a little tiny piece of what they're supposed to have. But it's God, it's their land. God gave it to them by blood covenant. Now, a number of things occur here in this Abrahamic covenant where the Shekinah glory shows up. First of all, observe the unusual darkness in verse 12. Look at that in verse 12. He writes, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of a great darkness fell upon him. Notice this darkness came upon Abram. Now, this darkness is clearly related to the Shekinah glory. Many times we'll see this thick darkness spoken of in the Old Testament in reference to the Shekinah. But secondly, notice in verse 13, the specific divine instructions given to Abraham out of this thick darkness. Look at verse 13. And he said, that's God speaking out of the darkness. He said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, this voice of God out of the darkness indicates that the Shekinah glory is always associated with divine messages from heaven for man. Okay? Keep that in mind, because tonight we're laying a groundwork. You're going to learn all about the Shekinah glory and his workings amongst men. It is a direct communion and communication from God to Abram here. Thirdly, notice that the Shekinah glory is also clearly related to divine protection and divine judgment. Verse 14, God says, and also that nation, Egypt, whom they shall serve, will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. God says, I'm going to punish them for taking my people Israel captive. Why? Because God is a protector and a punisher of his people's enemies. Mark that one down. The Shekinah glory has to do, as we're going to see clearly, the Shekinah glory has to do with that punishment. We're going to see it in chapter 14. Now, fourthly, observe the clear promise of eternal life related to the Shekinah glory. In verse 15, God's still speaking, and thou, Abram, shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Lord says, I'm going to take care of you even when you die. You're going to die in peace. Every true believer dies in peace because we're gathered to the heavenly family above. Now, we know that Abram was gathered to paradise, Abram's bosom, down in Sheol. And we understand that. But they couldn't go to heaven until Jesus rose from the dead. But notice that eternal life accompanies the Shekinah glory's presence. Now, question. Where were the patriarchs? Where were they? Those true believers that had already died prior to Abraham's passing. Where were they? They were in paradise. They were in paradise. They couldn't go to heaven until the cross. Now, fifthly, notice the prophetic promise from the Shekinah glory pronounced upon Abraham's seed. Verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they, thy seed Abraham, the Jews, shall come hither again. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they right now? Where God is talking to Abraham? They're in the promised land. They're in the promised land. And God is telling him, your seed, your offspring, is going to come back here and inherit this land. Mark her down. Now, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I always shudder when I read the word Amorites in the scripture, because they were evil, they were wicked, they were pagan. And Amorites is almost spelt like America. Scary thought there. And something else, though. Look at what the wording in verse 16. In the fourth generation, they shall. See the words, they shall? That is a prophecy, and that prophecy comes from the Shekinah glory of God to Abraham. And of course, they did. They did. Sixthly, observe the visible manifestation and form taken by the Shekinah. In verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. What is that, somebody? What is that? Begins with an S. It's the Shekinah glory. It's the Shekinah glory. It's, listen to me, folks. God himself passed through the sacrifice parts of the animal and the blood. Why? Because God is signing the treaty, the covenant with Abraham. See that? It's the Abrahamic covenant. Now notice four elements here in verse 17 concerning the Shekinah. There's fire. Look at verse 17. There's smoke. There's darkness. And there's light. All four of these elements are directly associated with the Shekinah glory, veiling the majesty of God that so that man may live in his presence and not die. Seventhly, though, notice the signing, the actual signing of the Abrahamic covenant by the Shekinah glory in verse 18. In the same day, the Lord, that smoking furnace, made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. And then he gives them the borders thereof. He made a covenant, it's irrevocable. You cannot disannul the Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic, it's gone. The Mosaic covenant has already been disannulled. Not the Abrahamic. The Jews worldwide today are going to inherit that land during the millennium. It'll take 7 years of tribulation to drive them to their knees before they get saved, but they will inherit that land. That promise will be fulfilled worldwide at the end of the tribulation period. Now, amazing here that the Shekinah glory was here in the midst of the sacrifice. And it's just incredible. Now, this is the first and second appearances we've seen tonight concerning the Shekinah glory. We've got 11 more to go, folks, just in the Old Testament. After that, we'll begin our studies of the Shekinah glory in the New Testament. And after that, we'll begin our studies of the Shekinah glory in future, the future, and in the eternal order. The Shekinah glory is God's presence, and it will always be there for his people. I'm so thankful for that. But Father, we thank you tonight that the Shekinah glory of God, even today, as we shall see, is alive and well. I'm so thankful today, Lord, that your presence goes with us, whithersoever we go. Lord, your presence is even in us. I'm so glad, Lord, that we don't have to look up in the sky for some cloud or fiery pillar to follow, but we've got your presence in us, guiding and leading and directing us. Lord, we thank you for the foundation tonight concerning the Shekinah glory. And we look forward so much, Lord, to the series of studies on it. Because, Lord, it's all about your presence amongst your people. And we're so grateful for that divine presence. That's what makes all the difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. We will indeed sing in closing tonight, and let's see here, we're going to open up to a song that we're not normally able to sing. Yes, indeed. That would be hymn number 227. Let's stand for 227. And as we shall see, this song speaks of the Shekinah glory. Because it speaks of a rock that followed them. Oh yeah, the Bible tells us who that rock was. No, we've got music. Yes, praise the Lord, people. this hymn. Rock, rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Thou whose fading breath, when my nostrils close in death, when I unknown and behold thee on the throne. Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Oh yes indeed, the rock that followed them was Jesus Christ. That's your kind of glory. We're going to have fun studying about it too. Well, Lord, how we thank you for a good day today. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, that it takes for man to discover the most hideous discovery of all, and that is the sinful heart by nature that we inherit from our parents. And Lord, I'm so glad that there is an escape from that evil heart. There is a cure for that evil heart. It's the blood of Christ. We thank you for it tonight, Father. And we thank you for the Shekinah glory, the presence of God in us and with us in our lives. Makes all the difference, Father. And we just ask that you'd bless us as we're dismissed tonight, Lord. We look forward to celebrating the Lord's table next Sunday morning. What a blessing that'll be. And Lord, we just ask you to bring the people out for a wonderful day of worship again. And this Wednesday at 7, for those who can make it, we'll be having Bible study / prayer meeting this Wednesday evening. And Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed. We are so rich in Jesus Christ. He became poor that we might be made rich. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord, for loving us the way you do. And thank you for the fellowship and the communion and the peace and unity that we have by your Holy Spirit in this church. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that oneness that we have through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit and Word. We love you tonight. We ask you to bless us as we're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people.